Work session on SPR 21. Purpose of that is to move that bill from this committee to Judiciary.
I move it to Judiciary, SPR 21 to Judiciary Committee.
Senator Courtney has moved SPR 21 to Judiciary Committee. Clerk, call the roll.
Aye.
Rochette.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. I receive necessary majority. SPR 21 is moved to Judiciary Committee. All right. Let's go. We had a hearing yesterday on, or a day or two ago, on the House Bill, open a public hearing on House Bill 3040. Representative Hill. Does this have to go to Ways and Means?
It does have to go to Ways and Means.
As a referral to Ways and Means. Senator, Representative Hill.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Representative Jim Hill, District 5. Before you, you have House Bill 3040. What the purpose of this bill is, as I've described it, is to bring focus to the GIS system that the state has. And I feel that the best way for this legislative body to gain a better appreciation for the opportunity that GIS gives us as policymakers is to bring it over into the legislative branch. This the group is not funded. They are a cost recovery group that are dependent upon people using them. I think if we bring them over and as legislators, we understand the value that the GIS services can bring to us as policymakers, and I think it could become a tool that we could use, that we would then choose to fund it outright. And I think we, as legislators, would make better policy choices. The way the bill is drafted, it doesn't alter. This, by any means, would still be a cost recovery system. It just simply moves to operate them. And in their spare time, they could do some work for us as well. In the next legislative session, as you all are aware, we have redistricting. Their expertise, I think, would be important to that. I think there's already money budgeted in terms of that will come into play to assist us in doing that process and using their skills in that. This would just be another avenue in terms of them being over in the legislative branch. This isn't negative. It isn't a desire on anyone's part to get control of the data sets or any of that information. It is an honest attempt to bring focus and attention to the GIS system and the value that it has for policymaking around, I think it would be valuable for legislators to have it in the legislative branch of government.
Questions of the witness? Senator Bucker.
Representative Hill, you're not talking about the GIS system that the Department of Revenue has. I mean, they're doing massive mapping systems of the entire state. That I think they have like 15 or 20 people in the mapping unit over there that are running probably the most comprehensive GIS system that I've seen.
Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer, this is over in the Department of Energy. In terms of it, I don't know if the Department of Revenue has their own GIS group or not. In terms of this is the one, this is referring to the State Service Center, which is in the Department of Energy, which is the focal point in terms of where GIS services are being done for all state agencies.
What are they doing with it?
I'm sorry, what?
What are they doing? What are they using it for?
The GIS, Geographic Information System, they're mapping. We're doing the watershed enhancement stuff for different agencies. It's all done on a cost recovery basis. They work with state and local government, local jurisdictions and governments. They can contract out to the private sector as well. But it's all done on a cost recovery basis.
A lot of energy?
They physically said, I think their budget's in gas, but they physically fill with the Department of Energy.
So that's what the...
The physical... The customers, like, there was 10 of them.
Is it part of the budgetarily is it structured as part of the DAS information services for the whole state?
Mr. Chair, Senator Meyer, yes. In terms of what it's done on a cost recovery basis, so agencies must pay, and the way this is structured, they would most likely sit where they're at today and wouldn't move, and they would do the exact same work that they're doing right now. But in terms of this would bring, I think, a better opportunity from the legislative branch in terms of to begin using these systems. Because I think it's important as policymakers that as we make decisions that we start bringing in and using these tool sets, because I think a graphical representation of this data, and they have these rich data sets sitting out there, but if you or I were to go and call them up and say, hey, you know, I've got this bill, this is my idea, you know, can I understand in terms of, you know, poverty overlaid, you know, with school lunch program, overlaid with, you know, income tax data, and they'll say, yeah, we'll be more than happy to do that, it'll be $5,000. You know, and you're like going, well, that's really great, you know. And then if you call them up, you know, they'll be more than happy to print you off a copy of your, you know, state, your district, you know, and hand that to you and smile. I mean, that's what the value you get out of it today as a legislator, because we cannot afford to use the services in terms of because of the way that we've budgeted for this and the way it works. And I think in terms of bringing it over to the legislative branch, because that's an opportunity to do that. It wouldn't change anything in anywhere else in the state government, but it provides an opportunity for the legislative branch to, I think, begin using these services, which I think is vitally important in a term-limited environment where we're going to bring more and more people in who don't have an opportunity to understand and get an understanding in terms of what government you know, does and the information and the history. And this will allow them to, I think, bring multiple data sets together in such a way that can help us make informed decisions.
So if they're operated on the cost recovery system now and we bring them into the assembly, does that mean we have to appropriate money for them?
Yes. But, Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer, that is what I'm working to make sure that we have that. But in terms of that they're sitting there and you're, you know, and they're part of our organization, we can, you know, the accounting becomes a lot easier for us to use the services if they're sitting idle.
Yes, I think
we're, we I am.
We're in a hurry, I know. Is that what you're going to say? Well, I just want to say I'll go along with the program, but I don't know why A, it would be any cheaper over here, and B, I remember 10 years ago when we did redistricting, we had a fantastic program. And sure, the Democrats controlled it all, but we still had it, but it was, and are we then going to sell them to other people that need it? Because I just don't know how it's going to save the taxpayer money we had over here, because it's still going to cost.
Mr. Chair, Senator Shannon, I'm not suggesting that it's going to save one penny. I'm suggesting in terms of what it provides an opportunity for the legislative branch to utilize this expertise and the services in a better form and fashion. I think, and what my goal is at the end of this is that the legislative branch will see that this is an important tool and will fund them directly versus leaving them out hanging as a cost recovery, which doesn't do very much for morale and trying to keep good qualified people in this branch, because I think this is an important tool and I'm very supportive of investing in the GIS system. And this is my concept of how I think we can do this as legislators. And I think in the meantime, also learn the value of what they do.
Senator Beyer.
I noticed from the DAS's response, the concern they raise is that right now it's part of the total service package, information services package provided to state agencies and others, and they raise a concern that placing it in the legislature will give the impression that it's there to serve the legislature only.
Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer, I can say that, you know, this is a, I think the way we've operated the legislative administration city has been nonpartisan. If that's where the agencies go to get the services, that's where they're going to get the services. It's not suggested as being negative or, I mean, I think in terms of it would be how they would approach it if they want to project that image out to agencies, I think then they'll be successful in that. But if it is simply just, you know, moving it over, I'm looking for an opportunity here to bring value to the legislative branch as well as the rest of the agencies, and I think this is one avenue in which we can positively do that.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Representative Hill. Close the public hearing and open a work session on House Bill 3040.
I move House Bill 3040 to Ways and Means Committee.
Senator Courtney has moved House Bill 3040 to Ways and Means. Further discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Aye.
Yes.
No.
All right. I received the necessary majority. House Bill 3040 has moved to Ways and Means. Close the work session. Open a public hearing. Wait a minute. We have possible reconsideration.
Which one would you like to hear?
Let's do House Bill 2838 first.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I move to suspend the rules for the purposes of reconsidering House Bill 2838-B amendments.
Yes. Okay. Senator Tarnell moves to suspend the rules for the purpose of reconsidering House Bill 2838. Discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Aye.
Aye. I receive. The motion carries. The rules have been suspended.
Mr. Chair, will the committee reconsider House Bill 2838-B amendments?
Senator Tarnow has moved the Senate that the committee reconsider House Bill 2838. Discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Aye.
Aye. House Bill is now before the committee as if it had not been heard. The committee must reconsider and or move all amendments previously adopted. Go ahead and speak up so we can understand everybody.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, on House Bill 2838, I've been informed by this committee's administrator, Brian Smith, that Representative Atkinson has some amendments to this bill that are not before us at this time, so request that we hold the bill over until either later today or another time.
Thank you. We're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2838. Senator
Spire, do you want to close it or recess it?
You're correct. I should recess the public hearing on House Bill 2838. We're in a work session, so I have to recess the work session, and that's we are in recess on the work session on House Bill 2838. We have a couple of representatives in our audience. For what bill are you here?
HGR 29.
We're going to open a public hearing on HJR 21, invite the representatives to come forward along with the Secretary of State's office, whomever is representing. Yeah, the Secretary is here. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I have been appointed to head up a work group
to deal with a bill on forfeiture that has come over from the House. I've been appointed by Attorney Neil Bryant, so I'm going to have to be leaving you. I don't want the two witnesses to take that personal, but since the bill came out of a certain committee in the House, I am one of that for the record, so if you'll excuse me.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Courtney, is that the bill that came out of our committee as an accommodation to one of our minority members?
I believe it is. I believe it was.
Nice job, guys. Well done.
We like to help our members.
Thank you. For the record.
For the record, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'll go first. Lane Shetterly, state representative for District 34, and Representative Williams and I are the co-sponsors on House Joint Resolution 21, which is before you today, and I believe we're joined here at the table with by the Secretary of State, Mr. Keeling. I will be brief. I've got a meeting over the Attorney General's office in about 5 minutes, but I just want to introduce this to you. It is a resolution to refer for a constitutional amendment to the people to change the signature requirements for petitions as the bill is introduced and passed by the House before you. It reduces from 6% to 5% of the votes cast for governor at the preceding election for statutory initiatives, and it increases the signature requirement from 8% to 12% for constitutional amendments. Our purpose in this, respecting the initiative process, is to acknowledge that we have a constitution that serves one purpose and we have a statute that serves another purpose. And the constitution, as Representative Mannix, I'm sorry, Representative Williams testified to the...
Amanda Williams doesn't have the same name.
Amanda Williams is right. You know, our concept of the Constitution is that of a fundamental document that sits out in framework, the structure of government and the role of government and the relationship of government to people and people to the government, and that through the initiative process, and we have seen what we consider to be something of an assault on the Constitution, and that is being used more and more, we are concerned, as in fact, a super statute, that it matters that there really are not of constitutional significance, are sought to be placed in the Constitution because, frankly, it's more difficult to change them once they get in there. And so, not because by subject matter or because of necessity, but rather for other reasons, tactical reasons, matters that truly textual in nature tend to find their way into the Constitution. And our concern is that is really mixing the Constitution with our statutes, and it does a disservice to the function of the Constitution. House Joint Resolution before you trying to accommodate that through the reduction from 6% to 5% of the signature requirements for statutory initiatives to encourage people use that process and by increasing from 8% to 12% the constitutional requirements to help ensure that the threshold for constitutional amendments is something that people will take a second look at before they try to run non-constitutional matters into the Constitution. I understand that there are amendments that will be proposed and may be before you to reset the statutory signature requirements from 5% back up to 6%, Representative Williams and I think I speak for both of us, we do not oppose those amendments. They were not in the original resolution that was brought before you, but we do not oppose those amendments. Okay.
Thank you very much. Again, I would urge you to make your comments as brief as possible. We've got a lot of measures before us today.
I'm so sure that I believe.
Thank you. Representative Sheriff.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I will just simply concur in the comments made by Representative Shetter. And also just state for the record, and this is Max Williams, representative from House District 9, state for the record that I have no objection to the amendment being proposed today to HGR 21, which will leave at 6% the total number of signature percentage requirements for statutory.
Thank you very much. Since our members of the committee, Secretary of State Bill Keesling very much ditto to that
support or introduce act on an identical bill to this on the Senate side, and I am comfortable with the amendment. I do want to note that because the denominator, the percentage is based on the vote for governor in the previous election, we actually went down by about 10% in the signatures that were required for statutory changes. Went from 73,000 to 66,000. So actually it's easier today to qualify statutory initiative in terms of number of signatures than it's been any time, I think, since 1990. So I support the bill and do support the amendment and urge it to pass.
Questions? Thank you very much. We have a number of witnesses signed up. I'd like Bill Sizemore to come up.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Bill Sizemore, the Executive Director of Oregon Taxpayers United. And I will make my comments brief as well and state our opposition to this resolution. It will not do what its supporters say that it will do. It will not make the Constitution of the state more difficult to amend. It will only make it more expensive to amend. It will only make that we will have more paid petitioners in front of Fred Meyer for a longer period of time. It does not make the Constitution one bit easier to amend. And I will say, and I will be frank about this, that the sponsors of this bill, I believe, do a disservice to the legislature by placing, if this bill actually, or resolution actually passes. The initiative process was created in Oregon in direct and to create actually an adversarial relationship to the legislature so that the people of the state would have the ability to pass laws that you won't pass or to undo things that you do that they don't like. And that adversarial relationship means that the initiative process will constantly be a threat to the power of the legislature. And the only way this measure will be defeated is by a campaign beating the daylights out of the legislature for a power grab to make it more difficult for the people of the state to pass law that the legislature can't change. The legislature will be encouraging the people to pass laws that the legislature can change if they like, and not pass laws that they cannot change. So I would suggest that the sponsors of this bill go the route that we have to go out and collect the signatures and place this measure on the ballot. The signature count is low. I suggest they go ahead and collect 12% just so they will be true to their own beliefs. But that way we would have a campaign not based upon an attack on the legislature, but a campaign on the merits of whether the Constitution should be more difficult to amend. And I don't offer that as a threat. I just say in political reality, that is the way this measure will be defeated. And I do believe it will be defeated, is if we go out and say the legislature wants you to pass laws they can change if they don't like them. They don't want you to pass laws that they can't change. And it's true that sometimes we place things in the state constitution simply to put them out of the grasp of the legislature. They may or may not arise to supposed constitutional level, but I will tell you there have been national studies on this issue and across this country in states with and without the initiative process. The state constitutions are full of things that are statutory in nature that have been placed in the Constitution to put them outside the reach of the legislature. That's just the way it is. And the idea that state constitutions are the same sacred document, if you will, as the U.S. Constitution, is just simply doesn't hold water. I don't support amending the Constitution of the United States easily. In fact, I wouldn't be as supportive of the initiative process if we didn't have the safety of the U.S. Constitution to prohibit the people of a state from denying people the basic rights that are enshrined in that basic document, the U.S. Constitution, that overrules every state legislature and every state constitution. That's the sacred document. It's a pretense to claim that the state constitutions around this country are at that same level. They are not, and as you know, the legislature has placed things in the Constitution that are not that level. So if this bill is going to move, let it move, but or this resolution, but understand that it will not do what its sponsors say it will do. The Constitution will still be as easy to amend by the voters. It will just be more expensive and we'll have more paid petitioners.
Mr. Chair, do you know if any of the 13 original colony states have the initiative?
Mr. Chair, Senator Shannon, I don't know that they did specifically, but they had the two of them did.
Do they now?
Do they now?
It's because I know the further west you go, they are, and it is my understanding that I can't remember the detail because they're very close to what we were built on, which was a republic. And the this initiative is such a democracy of, you know, which versus republic, which is elected representative. And of course, our founding fathers were very, very nervous about a democracy because it turns into the masses.
Mr. Chair, Senator Shannon, our founding documents do enshrine the right of the people to petition their government for grievances,
mm-hmm.
and that is what we do for the initiative process, and I do not believe that you have a democracy when you have a U.S. Constitution that all of 50 states live under. We have a Republican form of government. That is required by law. It's required that each state have a Republican form of government. And the courts have ruled that the initiative process does not violate that.
No, I know, but the further we got, got away from our founding fathers is when they found, 1962, they finally found separation of church and state, that it certainly wasn't there in our, beginnings in the people that founded the country. And I just say, I'm very nervous, and I know that OEA is filed against that, but we didn't used to elect our U.S. senators because we were a strict Republican form of government, and the legislature elected our senators. So I just wanted to ask you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator Shannon. If there are no other questions, I will tell you, I don't know, I have not thought about the 13 original colonies, but I know Massachusetts does have an initiative process.
Well, they're one of them.
So the answer to your question is at least one.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Well, appreciate your testimony. Andy Anderson. Don Loving. Ray Wilkinson. Wilkinson.
Very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Andy Anderson. I'm the Executive Vice President of the Oregon Farm Bureau, and I reside here in Salem, Oregon. And I'm here today to support House Joint Resolution 21 with the amendments that I understand are being proposed to change the number of, or the percentage back to 6 from 5 that is in the bill. We would support that. We'd also support raising the percentage for a constitutional change. I guess contrary to some of the arguments that we've heard here today, if the founding fathers didn't intend for the document for the constitution of the state to be somewhat sacred, why bother to have a state constitution? Why didn't we just have a statutory system and rely on the federal constitution for our constitution? It seems to me that when the state was organized and the system was set in place with our republic form of government and a constitutional with a constitution backing it up, that the intention of that system was to protect the minority from the tyranny of the majority. And I believe that that holds true at a state level as well as the federal level, and that it ought to be more difficult to amend our constitution. So having said that, I know your time is short today, so I will conclude my remarks.
Respond, if you would, to the assertion that we will not change the process, only make it more costly.
Well, it seems to me, Mr. Chairman, that that if it's more costly, it's more difficult.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Don Loving. I'm the Public Affairs Director for Oregon AFSCME. Thanks in large part to the Speaker before, Mr. Allenson. I'm quite well versed in the initiative process in Oregon. And I've given you a page of written testimony. I'm going to be very brief and just point out that over the past several years, we've had a number of initiatives that have been focused on public employees. There are four of you up there right now, Senator Courtney Gaughan. Each of the four of you have some differing view of public employees, their unions, their dues collection system, their retirement system. I'm here to assert that the Oregon Constitution simply isn't the place to have that debate. That's why we have statutory laws and such to debate those kinds of issues. We are seeing increasingly low voter turnout year after year. We used to say that people, vote with their feet. We'll have to change that and say now they vote with their stamps. But nonetheless, the level is going down. People are frustrated by the number of initiatives. The voter stamp looks like the Portland phone book anymore. And so I would just suggest that this is a good measure. If it makes it harder, if it makes it more expensive, so be it. But I think that to use the phrase of Representative Shetterly, we are cluttering the Constitution with issues that simply don't belong there. And our organization thoroughly supports the initiative system in Oregon. I'm a native-born Oregonian. We're a minority now, but I fully support the initiative system. But I don't think that doesn't mean we can't fix it if we see some problems. And so we support HCR 21 and the proposed amendments. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Ray Wilkerson, the Oregon Forest Industries Council. I would like to concur with the testimony of the two previous witnesses. We would support this resolution if it is amended as has been discussed. We would strongly oppose it if it was not amended, and that's mainly due to our recent experience with the forest industry with Measure 64, which qualified for the ballot through kind of a hybrid pay-no-pay process. It was qualified through door-to-door canvassing, not people standing out in front of Fred Meyer. But what that experience showed us is how ridiculously easy it is to qualify a very poorly thought-out initiative and get it on the ballot. And that our response to that had to be aggressive, because if without the proper information the people had through our campaign, if that thing had passed, we would have been out of business. So to make it easier on the statutory side could almost become a form of harassment to force people to engage in those kinds of exercises. Nevertheless, on the other side of it, we agree with the previous witnesses that a resolution that would make it more difficult to amend the Constitution inappropriately is a good thing, and I think the people ought to have a chance to vote on that. And we may be surprised. If you just put that on the ballot by itself, it may be an appealing proposition, and so we would support this in the form that's been suggested.
Thank you very much. Questions for the witnesses? Thank you very much. We have one further witness, Dan Meek.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dan Meek. I'm representing the Coalition for Initiative Rights. And I'm in the unusual position of agreeing with Bill Sizemore on both of these bills. On Senate Joint Resolution 21, there's three brief points. Pardon me?
We're only looking at HJR 21.
I thought you were also looking at SJR 21 that was on today's schedule.
It moved out of this committee to Judiciary.
Oh, I'm sorry. HJR 21 is the provision which simply increases the number of signatures required for a constitutional ballot measure and reduces, of course, from 6 to 5%. That's for statutory measure, but I understand you're considering eliminating that reduction. I do have written testimony on House Joint Resolution 21. So allow me to provide that to the committee staff. It's not this plan, unfortunately, this one. In that case, I have a lot less to say. On HJR 21, It's obviously a straightforward measure, and the reason that the Coalition for Initiative Rights opposes HJR 21 is because it eviscerates the initiative process by increasing the by 50% the number of signatures required for a constitutional measure. Constitutional measures, the proponents of initiatives believe, are necessary because the legislature does often change or seek to change measures that are statutory and enacted by initiative. And I have a brief list of some of those measures that were that have been changed in my testimony. HB 3220, which was signed by the governor yesterday, for example, countermands and essentially eviscerates ballot measure 9 of 1978 on how to include or not include the cost of abandoned power plants in utility rates. And there's another list of measures that the legislature is seriously considering right now, measures that would countermand the will of the voters as enacted by statute. In addition, the other equally, I think, important consideration is that the Oregon Supreme Court, of course, does not hesitate to overturn statutory measures on constitutional bases that are not at all clear at the time that the measures are enacted. One example of that is Measure 9 of 1994, which was the political candidate campaign finance reform measure. That was overturned by the Supreme Court. If it had been a constitutional measure, the Supreme Court of Oregon would not have had the basis to overturn it that it did. That decision was based not upon the federal Constitution or the federal First Amendment, but it was based upon the Oregon Supreme Court's interpretation of the Oregon Constitution. I believe many of the provisions that the Oregon Supreme Court ruled unconstitutional in Oregon would have been found constitutional if the test had been the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. I think it's generally recognized that this bill, or HJR 21, would simply be a means of reducing the number of initiatives on the ballot. Some people think it's a bad thing to have initiatives on the ballot, particularly those dealing with the Constitution. But the voter's pamphlet is becoming like a phone book, I just heard. If the voter's pamphlet is a concern, both houses have already passed Senate Bill 368, which authorizes the Secretary of State to reduce the size of anyone's argument in the voter's pamphlet. Now you're guaranteed 29.8 inches for an argument in the voter's pamphlet under SB 368. The Secretary of State can reduce that to any size that he deems that he wishes to reduce it to. So Secretary of State already has a new handle on the size of the voter's pamphlet. The measure is quite simple and easily understood, and we oppose it.
Thank you very much. Questions? We'll close the public hearing. Open the work session. Senator Bias?
Mr. Chair, just comments and then a motion. One is, I guess I disagree with the testimony given by Mr. Sizemore. I do think there was value in that honor in the state's constitution and believe that it ought to be preserved as a framework document. There's plenty of room in the statutory law to argue, both for the legislature and the citizens to make arguments there. Therefore, I would move the Dash 1 amendments.
Senator Barr has moved the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill HJR 21. Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Barr.
I would move HJR 21 as amended to the floor with the defense.
Senator Barr has moved HJR 21 as amended to the floor with the defense recommendation. Further discussion? First call to roll.
Aye.
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, HJR 21 moves forth to pass recommendation. Carry it. Senator Barr will carry. I'm going to reopen our work session on. Let's see, we've got a representative sitting out there, been waiting patiently. Representative Hobson, what bill are you waiting on? 3393. We will open a public hearing on House Bill 3393. Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that. For the record, my name is Elaine Hobson. I'm state representative from District 2. And when I first entered this process, I thought that what was being introduced here was just a simple bill. Well, a few months later, I've learned that's not the phrase to use. However, what we're talking about here is a simple concept. The concept is to protect landowners and any kind of fish, salmon, stream restoration in which we're interested. The bill has been modified a great deal with extensive input, revisions, and I'm not carrying this back just to have something to carry. This is indicative of the information that has been included. And what the bill does now is, I'm sorry, keep it short. You know what's in it. All it is to set up a study group to look at this and come back and tell us what to do. And everybody's been involved. How's that?
We've got the Dash 5 amendments. The bill passed the House 57-0. We've brought the Dash 5 amendments forward for what reason?
For the record, Ken Beerley with the Governor's Natural Resource Office. The Dash 5 amendments would substitute for the bill that was passed on the House floor. We've worked with the industry groups. We feel this is an important bill to provide liability to forest landowners and to study the issue of large wood in streams.
Does it have a subsequent referral or no?
Mr. Chair, with the creation of a work group to study the issues, we would have to get legislative fiscal to analyze the cost of the committee to determine whether we have a subsequent referral.
Mr. Chair, let me suggest that we let that decision lie with the President's office and the staff. I know I do review these bills. I just feel that there may need to go ahead and kick it down.
We were in a subcommittee. We're back to a full committee for consideration. We are in public hearing. Is there anything else you feel compelled to explain to us?
Senator Starr, for the record, the agencies have indicated that there would be no fiscal impact with the study approach.
Very good. We will then propose to move it to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation after its amending. So I'm closing the public hearing, open the... we were in work session. I'm sorry, because I adjourned a work session. We are in work session, and we've got the Dash 5 amendment. We need to move the Dash 5 amendment.
You okay? Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 5 amendments to House Bill 3393.
Senator Torno has moved the Dash 5 amendments to House Bill 3393. Discussion? Any objection? Hear none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3393 as amended to the floor of due pass recommendation.
Senator Torno has moved House Bill 3393 as amended to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Torno.
Aye.
Senator Shannon.
Aye.
Sheriff Summers.
Aye. I received the necessary majority. House Bill 3393 is moved to the floor as a due pass recommendation. Senator Tarnell will carry it. Close the work session. Open the. Let's see.
We have Representative Atkins here to finish up on House Bill 2838 to the reconsideration, first reconsideration that we put into recess until.
Oh, that's the one. Okay.
That's the one. And he's.
All right. We were in recess to work session on House Bill 2838. We're going to reopen the work session on House Bill 2838. Representative Atkinson, we're in work session. We've got some amendments for what purpose?
For the record, Jason Atkinson, State Representative, District 51. What we've done on the Dash 6 amendments is we have addressed some of the implementation language that we made up last time. We have ironed it out, and now it's really smooth, and to speak more to it, Katie Kobe.
Thank you. Good morning, committee members. Katie Kobe of the Governor's Office, Director of Executive Appointments.
the intent of the language here is just a smooth transition as people go off the commission, and then we bring new people on to meet the geographic preference priorities listed in the amendments. Let me give you a brief example. We could get into a situation where we have a member who has served one term, and this is a commission where there's a two-term limit, and we typically look at reappointing an individual if they've done a good job and are interested in continuing to serve, and obviously the Senate has the final say in terms of confirmation. We could be in a situation, given the priorities listed in terms of geographic representation, where we have one member who has served one term, their term expires, and the next priority order for appointment does not allow them to be reappointed. So in essence, they could only serve 4 years. We would have to find a new person, maybe from the coast, to serve. So the intent of this language is to allow someone to serve a complete two terms, assuming they go through the process before fitting in these geographic priorities in order of appointment. And the idea is that everything would have transitioned by June 30th of 2004.
Thank you very much. Questions of the witness? We're in work session. We need to move to dash A, six amendments. Do we need to move any of the other amendments?
No,
sir.
I'm just going to the ACES. Amendments to the House Bill 2838.
Senator Tarno has moved the dash A6 amendments to House Bill 2838. Discussion? Clerk, no. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Chair, move bills. Move the floor. Be passed recommendation.
Senator Tarno has moved House Bill 2838 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Clerk, call the roll.
Aye.
Aye. I received the necessary majority. House Bill 2838 has amended to move the floor of the due pass recommendation. Senator Shannon will carry. We've got Representative Cruz here for what bill?
Oh, good.
We open a public hearing on House Bill 3131. Representative Cruz. Roy Elliker, you come on forward, please. We're under a little time constraint.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate you hearing this, and I will be as brief as possible. For the record, Jeffrey, State Representative, District 45. Just a very brief history. We have three regions in the state, and we have Willamette Valley, Southern Oregon, and Eastern Oregon. Each one consecutively gets drier and drier. And we have water supply problems in Southern Oregon, and Douglas County has, for the last 40 years, been working in a comprehensive way to build impoundment structures so we can have a usable water supply. The Milltown Hill Dam was going to be the first structure in the northern part of the county, which is incredibly economically distressed. And Douglas County jumped through all the hoops. We had things thrown in at us like a listing of cutthroat trout and a few other things that really complicated the issue. But we persevered and jumped through all the hoops, and we had sign off on this dam by everybody, including National Marine Fisheries Service and the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. It came right down to one final hurdle to overcome, and that was to get a sign off by ODF&W Commission, and they rejected it on some grounds having to do with mitigation. And it basically turned down, from their perspective, it was a dollars and cents issue. From the county's perspective, it was more one of philosophy and accountability. And unfortunately, what happened here with this, Douglas County had invested a lot of time and a lot of money into this, and the county was incredibly hurt by the decision that the commission made simply because we had to drop out of the funding loop at the federal level for this project. What this bill does, quite simply, is direct the commission to go through the process again. It does nothing else. It doesn't direct that they change opinion or do anything else except go through the process again. The department says that they can do that now, and I say that's fine, then they should do it now. And that's what this bill does. It should also be stated at this point in time, Douglas County is not prepared to build the dam simply because we had to drop out of funding loops. So we would have to reapply and go through that again. But if we have the commission go through their process and we get sign off by them, virtually all of the hoops that have to be jumped through will have disappeared, and then it becomes simply a matter of finding the funding for the project and we can proceed. The benefit to fish of this project is well stated in the documentation. The economic development benefit to North County is huge. I'm in a county that has 11% unemployment. We need tanks like this to find working wage jobs for the people of Douglas County. And I urge passage. And I'd answer any questions.
Questions of the witnesses?
You have your hand signals?
Yes. Well, Senator Kano and I have visited this issue several times.
So wrong.
All right. We thank you very much, you. Representative Cruz. All right. Briefly as possible.
Very briefly, sir.
In opposition.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Roy Elliker. I'm the program manager for the Fish Screening and Fish Passage Program, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. Essentially, Representative Cruz is correct. Douglas County is, in fact, was invited by several commission members to return to negotiations regarding the dam project. With or without this bill, Mr. Chairman, they could return to the commission and further negotiate on the dam project. That's all my testimony.
That's all your testimony?
Yes, sir.
Questions?
Well, thank you.
Close the public hearing on the work session. Thank you. Senator Tarno.
I move House Bill 3131 to the floor. Do you pass recommendation?
Senator Tarno has moved House Bill 3131 to the floor. Do you pass recommendation? Discussion. Clerk, call the roll.
Aye. Senator Courtney, Senator
Meyer,
Senator Shannon.
Aye.
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, House Bill 3131 has moved to the floor. Do you pass recommendation? Senator Tarno will carry. Open a public hearing on House Bill 3408. We have BJ Smith.
I am not BJ.
Oh, you're not BJ.
But I am prepared to discuss the bill. She is our county governmental relations person.
Okay.
And I am the director of human services in Clackamas County.
All righty. We have a bunch of people signed up for this. We don't have any time to hear everybody, and it seems like this had pretty good support in the House. Are there amendments?
No amendments. It's House Bill 3408A. There was one amendment in the House, which is incorporated in the bill at this point.
Okay.
So,
if you can brief us how we need the bill.
I will. Chair Starr, members of the committee, I am, for the record, Irene Fisher Davidson. I'm the director of the Department of Human Services in Clackamas County, and previously I was the mental health director. House Bill 3408A is a pretty simple bill. What it does is reconcile, coordinate two statutes written at two different times for two different purposes. One was written, I think, in 1961, and establishes community mental health programs to ensure that mental health services are available to Oregonians in need of urgent services. These are the local safety nets for individuals who would otherwise end up on our streets in juvenile facilities, jails, or create disruptions in schools. The second statute is the one that brought mental health into the Oregon Health Plan. Previously, the Oregon Health Plan mental health dollars were Medicaid dollars that flowed to the counties, and they're the glue that holds it all together. Unfortunately, there was no bridge built between the two statutes, so they didn't talk to each other, and because of that, there was not good coordination in the local communities. So what this bill does, pretty simply, is ensure that before decisions are made, that the state will listen to local advisory committees and boards and propose a system which fits the local community and not a one-size-fits-all. And you will see you have about 30 letters of support from county commissioners, mental health directors all across the state, including coastal and rural areas, the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill, which is the family members of the mentally ill, and the association that represents families of kids with mental illness, the senior and disabled advocacy groups, and we have, as you said yourself, Chair Starr, broad support for this bill. It does no harm to anyone, and we believe that it just provides a fix that will prevent the disruption in future service. Was that fast enough?
Senator Tarnow.
Is there any opposition to this bill?
No opposition. Does anybody else feel compelled to testify on this? If not, we're going to close public hearing and open a work session and move the bill. Close public hearing, open a work session.
So move. House Bill 3408A, reverse version to the floor of the Pressure Commission.
Senator Tarnow has moved House Bill 3408 and engrossed to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Not the clerk call the roll.
Senator Tarnow.
Aye.
Senator Corky. Senator Meyer. Senator
Shannon.
Aye.
Chair
Starr.
Aye. I received the necessary majority. House Bill 3408 moved to the floor with due pass recommendations. Senator Shannon.
We'll
carry.
Right. I've just been questioning.
Oh, no, sure. I'm thinking Mr. Rue up here, too.
Oh, let him.
Oh, I just...
He has more of it. I just have two towns.
With me, I don't know.
Well, let's see. We got Senator Metzger on the bill, so we'll let Senator Metzger carry the bill.
Okay, that's what I think.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your concern and your
communication.
All right. Now we've done good work, and we've got...
how many more?
We got three more. House Bill, open a public hearing on House Bill 3346, Martha Pagel, Doug Myers.
Well, this is for the voter.
Look at that. The only witnesses we have signed up here are Ginners. How does that work?
Which number are we doing?
Okay. Where's our testimony? Where is this thing?
Oh, I think I got an idea what this is. Oh.
You already have them?
All right, tell us problems with this bill, folks. Briefly as possible.
Briefly. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Martha Pagel, Water Resources Department. We have written testimony which will outline in detail our opposition to the bill. It relates to an issue raised by the Grants Pass Irrigation District. I will say that I know that Mr. Becklin, chair of the district, was here the other day when the bill was first scheduled, so it's unfortunate that he's not here back today to be able to speak on behalf of the bill. What it does is require a sediment study to be undertaken before our department can order or proceed with removal of any dam or artificial obstruction. Our opposition is primarily that there's no need for the bill. We haven't heard of problems expressed with the current law
by anyone but this particular district. The bill, even though we think there's no need for it, if it is enacted, creates potential problems with existing law, doesn't distinguish between legal and illegal structures, and it also creates confusion with the hydroelectric decommissioning process that was moved out of this committee earlier in the week because of the way it's written. So I won't go into further detail unless you would like me to, but we strongly oppose it. I'll leave it at that.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Doug Myers. I'm here representing Water Watch. We echo the comments of the Director of Water Resources. It's just an unneeded mandate that would unnecessarily limit, delay, and increase the cost of enforcing state laws and taking needed steps to protect public safety. The bill assumes that in all cases, sediment exists and is a problem, whether it's logical or not. And again, if the dam is unsafe or illegal, Water Resources Department, if this thing becomes law, would have to conduct a sediment study. It's unneeded, and therefore we ask that you reject the motion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Senator Parnell.
I got to ask you this issue about, folks. Let me give you my concern, and Mark and Doug both, you know, what's been going on with Saudi Rappers. But I was contacted several years ago by some folks downriver on the road, and they expressed concerns about the buildup behind, and let's just use Saddle Droppers for example, mercury buildup in that sedimentation. And my concern is that I was informed then that someone had done a shallow core test. Now, I don't know what that meant. Running a core sample down into that sedimentation and build it behind Saddle Droppers, and they did find mercury. And so from a perspective, I think this not only would it be applicable to Saddle Droppers, but anything, and there may be, we do need to look behind, I think, for this game, as far as sedimentation, what is there.
Mr. Chair, Senator Connell, we certainly agree that we need to know what's behind any dam or obstruction before it's removed, but there are several arguments that respond back to this bill. One is that it's very rare that we are involved at all in any kind of a removal project. The one experience that we've had is the Valsette dam, which is described in detail in my testimony, and that dam was removed with the full cooperation of the dam owner, Boise Cascade, with state agencies, with the public involved. It would not have complied with this bill, but there were sediments, but they were adequately managed, they were adequately studied, and there was no problem. It was handled much more cheaply under existing law. With respect to the Savage Rapids Dam, there's just, frankly, a pretty strong difference of opinion. There were samples done in connection with an environmental impact statement that, from the state and federal point of view, indicated no real problem with contamination, but the need to engineer how you would remove the sediments, and the plan was that would be done as part of feasibility engineering for the removal project, and that the sediment worries are jumping ahead of the game. So we have a difference of opinion on Savage Rapids, but certainly we agree that sediments need to be evaluated. We just don't think you need to do a comprehensive sediment study in each and every case.
And I would say, Mr. Chair and Senator Cherno, the U.S. EPA has done a study. The Bureau of Rec is about to do a study. We agree that you need to evaluate the sediments behind Savage Rapids Dam, but this bill is not directed at Savage Rapids Dam as such. It's every dam. Whether somebody puts up an illegal dam, you'd have to the state would have to conduct a sediment study behind it, and that's why we object to it.
Thank you very much. We're going to. I appreciate that. I think that I'd like to try to contact Representative Wilson.
I just said he's on his way.
He's on his way.
Mm-hmm.
We will then temporarily reset our public hearing and move on to to a consideration of one of the other bills.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I have to get a clarification on the Senate rules prior to that reconsideration. I'm not sure that you have a quorum for the purposes of reconsideration. Senate Rule 10.01 under reconsideration sub 4 requires a majority of affirmative vote of those present. I've gotten information from other sources that states that the committee has to have 2/3, so I need to clarify that rule prior to committee action. And that'll take me about 2 minutes, Mr. Chair.
All right. Well, we've got one other bill, I believe.
Here's Mr. Representative Will.
All right. We have recessed. Now we will reconvene the public hearing on that bill.
House Bill 3346.
Yeah, House Bill 3346. Representative Wilson, we've just had compelling testimony why this is not needed. We'd like to understand why we're considering this.
Have you heard them testify before on this?
No, I have not.
Maybe they could send them away.
Very similar as Florida.
Oh, that's
very
good.
Right. We'll go from the other sources of Mother Watch proposed to 3346 because it must be necessary to take up an in-depth study of some of the bill left behind again.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Starr and members of the committee. If we are all concerned about the environment, as we should be, I don't know how we could be anything other than concerned about what is in the sediment behind dams. This bill has been engendered in part due to the situation with Savage Rapids Dam in my district. A sediment study has already been completed at not public cost, but at private cost. But I do think that any time we are going to be involved in the taking out of a dam, if we are truly environmentalists, if we are truly concerned about what the impact is going to be on the waterway itself, on the fishery, you've simply got to know what is contained in the sediment behind the dam. The sediment pile behind Savage Rapids Dam was many, many, many feet thick. Of course, that dam has been in place for some 75 years, and in the process of that time, due to the irrigation that has been done, the mining that has been done, the fertilizer application that has been done in the watershed, it gives a very great opportunity for this mass in the sediment pile to build and house goodness knows what in that sediment. So it would seem to me to be only good sense that if a dam is going to be taken out, that all the factors need to be studied that relate to that sediment pile. Not only what is in it in the form of potentially dangerous toxins, but what the effect will be of the releasing of that sediment when that dam is taken out, what effect it will have on the waterway itself and the fisheries impact. I don't think that as responsible Argonians we could really ask for anything but that. And I'd be happy to take any questions you might have.
Questions of the witness? Not. We're going to close public hearing and open the work session on House Bill 3346.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3346 to floor. Do pass recommendation.
Senator Tarno has moved House Bill 3346 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Tarno?
Aye.
Senator Courtney?
Senator
Meyer? Senator
Shannon?
Aye.
Senator Aye. I received necessary majority. House Bill 3346 moved to floor with a due pass recommendation. Senator Tarno will carry.
Thank you very much.
You had a constituent that finished studying on that bill.
Exactly.
Could you please give me a little note on what it is?
No, we've got two bills, and we needed you here to for reconsideration vote because it requires a two-thirds majority, and if we can't get your vote, we're stuck in the water.
Well, that's
really good. Senator Shannon back in here to do a suspension of the rules.
We have Representative Close. We have House Bill 2792. We're open at public hearing on House Bill 2792. We've had testimony on this previously. Representative Close.
Mr. Chair, all I came to do was to assist you if you want to move this bill and explain the amendments that we have, the dash 10 and dash 12.
Dash 10 and 12 amendments. Tell us what they do, or you or the administrator can do this.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if you remember at our last discussion of this bill, we had the dash 810 amendments before us that would increase the property tax rebate from 3% to 5%, also put a limit on the assessed value of the principal residence to be not more than $300,000. At that same time, Senator Shannon and Representative Close were, and other members of the committee were discussing changing the date of this bill from 2001 to 2003. That would be capitalized in the dash A12 amendment. The dash A11 amendment that you might also have is just a minor technical change that if you chose not to move the dash A10 amendment, you would have to choose the A11 amendment.
But if we chose to raise that increase from 3 to 5, if we chose the A10s, we don't need the A11.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is the administrative folks. If we go with the 12, there will be no fiscal for this period of time, is that correct?
There would be no fiscal for this period of time. Currently, there is a subsequent referral to Ways and Means on this bill. You could rescind that subsequent referral. I believe it's still up to the president to finalize that motion to rescind.
The referral. In other words, if we choose to rescind the referral and move it to the floor with the dash A12s, then the Senate President decides whether or not.
Sure, sir. Members of the committee, you also have a copy of a revenue impact statement prepared based on the dash A10 amendment. It shows the difference between a 3% and 5% tax rebate for the years of 2002 and 2003. You can see it's increasing continuously. And the difference between a 3 and 5% in 2002 is about $6 million.
That's in the revenue?
That's a new revenue impact statement based on the dash A10 amendment. That did not incorporate the dash A12 or change. It was changes it from 2001 to 2003. So the impact would be even greater. Just because the population of retired citizens is
increasing.
That's our taxes.
I've tried since I got here in 93 to do something to provide tax relief for our senior citizens. We've had difficulty doing it. If we set it out there so that it doesn't affect the next biennium, then the next legislature can come back and change it. That's the situation that we face.
Well, Mr. Chair, I have a problem with posing it on the issue on the next legislative session.
Yeah.
But my concern, if we're going to do anything, is at least put a message out there this time that we're going to have to do that. I think we have the funds to, and what it means now to
do it.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Byer.
The reality is that the funding situation does get any better the next time. I am supportive of the bill, and I think we ought to pass it the way it was originally proposed and not try to sneak it in, two biennium down the line. Let's hit it on up front and make a decision on this.
Okay.
Given the fiscal constraints we have.
Pleasure of the after the component of the bill.
Mike, I like the F-12. Because of course the late in the session and because of the negotiations that are going on, I would feel more comfortable moving it to the next session.
I guess I'll think about it.
What happened to my other number?
Need to change my phone.
Yeah.
Okay. We're putting off the decision by doing that, but I guess I agree with the representative that the senior tax.
Oh, that one. What, we're going to move it out?
2003. Your idea.
Yeah, my idea.
Yeah. We need to move the dash.
Decision.
We're going to go to a closed public hearing open a work session on House Bill 2792.
Mr. Chair, I move the H.M. amendments to House Bill 2792.
Senator Tarno has moved the H.M. amendments to House Bill 2792. Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move the H.12 amendments to House Bill 2792.
Senator Tarno has moved the H.12 amendments to House Bill 2792.
Okay.
Any objections?
Objection.
Okay. Show that Senator Barr objects. Having majority, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 2792 has another floor to pass recommendation.
Did you adopt both amendments?
Yeah. Let's.
Yes, to rescind the referral. Yeah.
We would request that the referral be rescinded and that House Bill 2792 as amended be sent to the floor. Further discussion?
It's a due pass.
For the due pass recommendation. The clerk call the roll. Aye. No.
Aye.
Aye. I received necessary majority. House Bill 2792 is moved to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Okay.
Senator Shannon will carry.
Representative, of course. Is it all right if I add my name as a sponsor?
I would be honored.
I wish I would have done this myself.
Thank you. Thank you, committee. I appreciate it.
All righty. We've got before us motion for the suspension of the rules. I open work session.
Mr. Chairman, move yes to the motion on this?
Yes.
And move to suspend the rules for the purpose of reconsidering House Bill 2881.
Senator Tarno moves to suspend the rules for the purpose of reconsidering House Bill 2881. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Tarno?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. I have received a necessary two-thirds majority. Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, I move to reconsider House Bill 2881.
Senator Tarno moves the committee reconsider House Bill 2881. Discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Tarno.
Aye.
Senator Courtney.
Senator
Byers.
Aye.
Senator Tarno. Aye. Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 2881 is now before the committee. As if it has not been heard, the committee must reconsider amendments. And we've got one, we're in a work session.
And Mr. Chair, members of the committee before us, we have dash four amendments. They were offered by Mr. Chandler from Oregon Building Industry Association. What the dash four amendments do is take the Department of Environmental Quality out of the bill and therefore remove the fiscal on the bill. I talked to the fiscal analyst
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, about the A4 amendments, and in fact, he informed me that they would cause at most a minimal fiscal impact, so it would not require the bill, but the A4 would not require a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Questions? We're in work session, but we do have before us the proposer of the A4. If you have any questions.
What are these two, John?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, John Chandler, Director of Governmental Affairs of the Oregon Building Industry Association. Senator Barry, are you referring to the A4 amendments?
Yeah.
At the last hearing on this bill, the last work session actually, the EQ showed up with a fiscal impact statement that would have required the bill to take a trip down the dungeon. In discussion of the EQ, we felt that they were included in the bill in the first place because it seemed logical for them to do the work. But the conversation I had with their folks here, if they don't have time or money to do the work, let's the interim staff can do it with fiscal impact. That's essentially all the A4s do. These two will still be involved to some extent, I suspect. They're okay with the A4 amendments. They have no objection to being pulled out of the bill. They're a little nervous about what's happening on water quality, I'm told. And just, as long as the interim study is able to go forward with interim staff, which I'm sure it can, they're very capable people.
Do they have money in the legislative budget for staff?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the original bill calls for using the services of current legislative staff to the greatest extent practicable. So the bill has always had legislative staff built into it. According to the legislative fiscal office, that will not cause referral to Ways and Means because staff already is on board. It calls for using existing staff. And as far as the services of state agencies, when there is a committee of this nature, Mr. Chair and members of the committee created, state agencies are compelled to cooperate with the legislature and that committee. But anyway,
we can do it harder.
This is unrecognized.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, one other point on the A4 amendment that actually does make some sense outside of the DQ issue, and that is that some of the work here would probably be more appropriately done by DLCD than DEQ because it does have land use implications. And so by leaving it open-ended the way the A4s are presented, that would make it easier for us to call in DLCD or Dagami or whoever be appropriate.
We're in work session.
Very much so.
Move the dash 4 amendment.
Senator Byers moved the dash 84 amendment to House Bill 2881. Any objection? Hearing none, forward.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 2881 as amended to the floor with a few pass.
Senator Barr has moved House Bill 2881 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
Senator Courtney?
Senator
Byers?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Having received necessary majority, House Bill 2881 moved for the due pass recommendation. The chair will carry. And I'd like to show that for the votes when members were absent, they were excused. They, in fact, had spoken with the chair and were excused from the committee. So, with that, we're adjourned to the Senate Bills and Elections Committee and head to the floor.
Did we get everything
great work?
Everything did.